Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour two. Tom Brady's new boss this hour, and Urban Meyer this hour. This is The Herd live in L.A., wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Having a pretty good hair day, I'm not going to lie about it. Feel pretty good. Joy Taylor's joining me. So, Joy, I'm going to make NFL standing prediction.
Yes.
Now, I always do this. I wait for the coaching changes, the combine, the draft, free agency, and then I make a prediction. I did that May. But things have changed. Now we've had opt-outs, no OTAs, no preseason, and so I'm going to make another prediction. Now, I have a right to amend this before the season starts. I have 30 days. The Constitution in this country has amendments, like 26 of them. I get one. So, because I'm going to wait for injuries, if there's any injuries.
So you're only allowing yourself one amendment?
One phase
of amendments?
I think one amendment. But again, the
last year I think that's a 7 amendments. So you're kind of cornering yourself here.
Okay,
yeah, one might be a little limited.
Let me defend myself. The Constitution has 26 amendments. I could be wrong. It has 27 amendments? Alex, 27 amendments. The Constitution. I don't get a second?
You can have as many as you want.
Yeah, you can have as many, but if you say I only get one,
that freedom of speech one needs to be amended so you don't talk back. All right, here we go. So I'm very excited. Now this is what I believe is going to happen this year. Joy and I have talked about this. Her brother, of course, Hall of Famer. She's been watching football games forever. I think the good teams are going to be really good and dominant, and I think the bad teams are going to be trash. I just think if you have a new staff and a new quarterback, no OTAs, you're going to get rolled. They're going to be some bad, bad teams this year. And it doesn't mean their players are bad. This is just awful.
It's a bad situation for anyone who has to implement anything new.
And the good teams that bring everybody back and have just added smart veteran players are going to be unbelievable. We had this in remember the strike-shortened season where the good teams were really good and the bad were really bad? So here we go. Let's start with the AFC. AFC East. Buffalo, I had them earlier about 9 wins. I'm going to give them 11. They've added Stephon Diggs. They've had a couple of opt-outs, a defensive lineman, a corner. They're deep on defense. Miami's one of the toughest teams for me because I really like where they're going. But, God, they needed a preseason. They really needed a preseason. So I've got them at 7-9. I think if they had a preseason, Tua would start. They don't have a preseason. I don't think Tua will start. I think they'll find their magic about week 5 or 6. Jets, C.J. Mosley opted out. Jamal Adams is gone. They're just not going to be good enough in an improved division. And again, New England's 5-11. 8 opt-out players. Cam is sharing snaps. No preseason for Cam sharing snaps. No deep threat. No functioning tight end. Dante Scarnecchia, best O-line coach in 20 years, retires. I think we all know why New England will be 5-11. AFC North. I've got courage. Baltimore's going to roll. They're going to destroy people. 13 of their 16 games, they're going to bulldoze people. They have the NFL's easiest travel schedule, and I think the NFL's best roster. Cleveland worries me with Kevin Stefanski, but I love their talent. I think Cleveland probably starts to roll about mid-October. Pump the brakes on Brown's criticism. New coach, new staff. They're going to be a run-first football team, fingers crossed. Pittsburgh, again, I would love to see a preseason with Big Ben. They don't get one, and I don't buy them right now. I don't like their direction, though I love their front 7. Cincinnati, I thought, could win 5 or 6. They're going to get rolled. They're going to be bad. They just don't. I saw the Joe Burrow footage yesterday. The ball didn't have any zip on it. Very concerned. Accuracy issues. The ball was very low. Did not like the 45 seconds of Joe Burrow footage yesterday. And I watched that and I thought, what am I doing? He's not lining up against the Ravens, Browns, and Steelers defenses. I'm sorry. It's going to be a total mismatch. And that's nothing against Joe Burrow. They're going to be awful. All right, AFC South. a bunch of average and a horrible Jaguars team. Again, Jaguars got no players. They're clearly targeting next year. I think the Colts have the best young offensive line in football, and that will allow immobile Phillip Rivers to succeed. I also loved their first three draft picks, or their first two draft picks, Michael Pittman from USC, Jonathan Taylor running back at Wisconsin. Now, I don't think Phillip Rivers is athletic. In fact, I think he's the least athletic quarterback in the league, and I think there are some limitations in 2020. The good teams can move the pocket. Or you're like Tampa, where you have superstars everywhere. So I think the Colts win a average division. I think Tannehill pulls back. There you go. AFC West, this division's absolutely loaded. I even think the Raiders are fun, but I think they're going to be over their skis. Teams that move cities are usually bad the first year. I think Kansas City's going to win 12. I had Denver being a very good team this year, and I think they're improved. Here's what worries me. They got a left tackle issue, and the right tackle opted out. That's Cleveland last year. Cleveland had a lot of good players. They were atrocious at tackle. And Cleveland couldn't protect Baker Mayfield running for his life. So I get Drew Locke with a bad left tackle who's underachieved and a right tackle who opted out. That worries me a ton. But I still have him at 9-7. Chargers are a very competitive 8-8. Tyrod Taylor is a functioning starting quarterback. New stadium, same coach. I like him. I just think in an improved AFC, there's a ceiling with the team. Raiders 5-11. So, my AFC playoffs, Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs are division winners. Broncos, Browns, Chargers are playoff teams. Yes, I do think Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers all make the playoffs from the AFC West. NFL football, arguably, I really do think it's the best division in football. Now, let's go to the NFC. I'm going to have Philadelphia winning it. Dallas has a new coach. They're not going to be bad. They could go 9-7, but I have 8-8. I think the Giants, there are some things about the Giants I like. Daniel Jones better than I thought. Saquon Barkley, they've upgraded the O-line. I think New York's going to be but I got a new coach. But they're another team. If the Giants had a preseason and you gave me a look at them, I'd like them a lot more. The Washington football team, going to be, I just think they're going to be bad. I think they'll be really intense. But again, how bad did Dwayne Haskins need a preseason? Like, Washington's won it like Miami. Like, there's players with Washington. There are players with Miami. Devastating. Devastating for Washington with a new coach, quarterback with very few starts, no preseason. NFC North, I think it's going to be a very good division. I don't like Detroit like everybody else. A lot of people think Detroit's sneaky. I'm going to have Minnesota and Green Bay at 11-5. Again, I got some issues with Green Bay, but I Aaron Rodgers, star offensive players. I think Minnesota's roster is excellent. I think Minnesota's front office is excellent. Mike Zimmer's a little rigid for me on the offensive end. But Kirk Cousins, as much as we bag on him, is pretty proficient. Chicago's in a little bit of a quarterback transition stage. That's how I see it. And in the NFC South, Saints, Bucks, Panthers, Falcons. I think the Falcons are a bit of a mess. I think they may bail on their head coach, who's in a lame duck year halfway through the season. Carolina 7-9, but fighter's chance. They blow somebody's season up. I think the Saints are the best team, and I think Tampa Bay takes about 6 weeks to get their act together. Really could have used a preseason, didn't have one. Their defense, my prediction is Tampa's defense will actually be the story the first 6 weeks of the year. We'll be talking about their defense. NFC West, second to best division in football. I got the Niners winning at 12-4. I had Seattle better than this, pull back a little bit. Organization that I think is a little top heavy. Rams are good at 9-7, but like Seattle, they're kind of like Seattle to me. Some stars, top heavy, some thin spots. They just don't have the quarterback Seattle does. And Arizona's a competitive 5-11, but still young and a lot of changes. The NFC playoffs look exactly like last year's. The difference is Tom Brady's in. Eagles, Vikings, Saints, Niners, the wild card teams. I think Minnesota would tie with Green Bay, but win the division. Packers, Bucks, and Seahawks. There you go. What do you think of that, Joy?
That's pretty strong.
Don't know what to do with Miami. Feel bad.
Yeah. I mean, but this isn't, you shouldn't, that's actually a good season for Miami, if you really think about
it. Yeah, I'm a little high on them, and I think I would have loved Tua to get 75 snaps in the preseason.
I think you're being a little rough on Jacksonville.
What did I have him at?
Two wins.
You're right. I'm going to reduce it to one. I don't like them at all.
I mean, I don't love Jacksonville either, but I mean.
First of all, this is the show.
I think I get four.
I'm America's honesty broker. I am now, people come up to me all the time. Why don't you like Buffalo? Because you were crap for years. Now you're not crap. Like, I like Buffalo. Now. Everybody's like, oh, Cleveland, you pick on them. Was I wrong? When was I wrong on Cleveland?
I was totally right on Cleveland.
I was right on John Dorsey. I was right on Freddie Kitchen. When was I tough on Cleveland? I was accurate on Cleveland.
Well, they're that bad that it sounds like you're being tough.
Yeah, now I'm like, well, I like their players. I got no agendas. You're always tough on Cleveland because you're always crap in Cleveland until this year. Oh, you're brutal on Buffalo because you're a brutal franchise, except for the last 2 years. So I live in Los Angeles. Rams are 9-7. Chargers 8-8. I'm not a homer. It's not what I do. I think the Lakers are fool's gold. I'm not a homer. I'm America's honesty broker. It's a lot of weight on these shoulders. Exhausting. All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, new general manager. How good is that to drive to work today? You're like the Bucs GM. It's like, I got Gronk, I got Brady, I got Mike Evans. That's a good drive to work. Up Dale Mabry Avenue. Yeah.
As long as you got the AC.
Yeah, a little warm there right now. Plus Urban Meyer this hour all coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
A wild race is heating up in the AL Central, and tonight on FS1, the Detroit Tigers are looking to keep their surprising start to the season as they take on the White Sox. That's tonight at 7 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
How glorious does it feel to watch sports? It's been
It is glorious.
Last night I turned on and I had some stuff to do in the afternoon. Lakers Nuggets were tied at like 28, and I'm like, this is so great. Now, yesterday I told you about the golf tournament I watched for 3 hours Sunday. It got a huge rating. So I wasn't the only person. You know, golf doesn't get a rating if Tiger doesn't play, and it got a massive number. So it's like,
oh, people still watching sports, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh.
What about the boycott?
I don't know. I guess they started.
It's crazy.
To keep watching.
Okay, Jason Light played football at Nebraska, and then he got into football and personnel and scouting. He is the general manager now in his seventh year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I've been saying this for the last couple. It's not a talent issue. They don't have the quarterback right quite yet, but they got all sorts of players, and he is joining us via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network. So, you know, what's interesting about this, Jason, is that people think, oh, there's all this change. You actually return 19 starters, which I think is first or second in the NFL. So you guys have not had a lot of flux. You're young, but when I look at your team this year, my only question, it's not your defense. It's not your personnel. My question is, take the old guy, put him up with the new kids, and figure out the offensive system together. So how has Brady looked so far, Jason?
He's looked great. You know, we haven't put pads on yet. We haven't even gone offense versus defense in walkthroughs. You know, that's coming up this week. But there's definitely a different aura to practice. There's just a different feel. It's very efficient. The players are gravitating to him like you would expect. I was, you know, in New England for 6 years when he was the quarterback, so. I'm not as in awe as a lot of other people here that haven't been around him. Don't get me wrong. I'm still in awe of him. I mean, he is the best of all time. So, but it's just a different feel. But we're taking it one day at a time here. We all know we have a lot of work to do before we kick off here in a little over a month.
You know, it's interesting when, I don't even think I've heard the story on this. So there had to have been a moment where you and Bruce Arians were, you know, it's a day in the off season, and you had to have a moment where you said, you know, Coach, I was up there in New England. I have Tom's number. Maybe I can make a little text to Tom. Do you remember the moment when it really you thought to yourself, I think we have a shot here. We may be in the hunt here for Brady.
Well, it seems like it was 5 years ago now because we've been through a lot here, all of us in the world here the last few months. But it really never came down until the moment that we could call the agent. We couldn't talk to the players yet for agency, but the legal tampering period, which is an oxymoron, but where, you know, we didn't get an answer, but the first call I made to Don Yee, he said, you made the right call. And
wow,
I thought at that moment that was a good sign. Now, I didn't know if he was saying that to any other teams that were calling him, but it wasn't until we were able to talk to Tom. I went over to Bruce's house, called him, and he answered, and he said, what's up, big guy? I'm very excited. And I remember looking at Bruce going, I don't know what this means. Does it mean that he's joining the new team or joining us? So the call went well. He still hadn't signed until, you know, the following day. So I wasn't going to start, you know, doing cartwheels until, you know, the ink dried. But, you know, that was really the moment. There was a lot of sleepless nights leading up to it. And, it was crazy that we're, you know, kind of in this, and that was when the uncertainty started. You know, he was just coming to grasp with what we're going through with the pandemic at that moment, that, you know, after he signed, we would have normally probably rented out a restaurant and had a party. But, you know, it was just kind of a surreal time. But it was a great thing to happen during those times to keep our minds, you know, off of everything else that was going on just for a moment.
You know, it's funny. You had the world's best secret. In the entire world, you had the world's best secret, and you couldn't tell anybody. Did you even tell your wife? Did you even go home and say, honey, you can't tell anybody, but we're going to get Tom Brady here? How did you keep it secret?
Well, in today's day and age, it was the free agent bell hit. So, you know, everybody was after the story, and I think it pretty much was out simultaneously. But she knew that's what the desire that Bruce and I and our organization wanted for a while, but she was told not to tell anybody that that's what we were hoping to do.
Yeah. You know, when I looked at your team, it's one of those things where when Tom chose you, we all went on this show, oh, yeah, this makes total sense. Yeah. This makes sense. The receivers, he got tired of kind of a lack of firepower, and Tampa's got all sorts of firepower. So, but the untold story of your team is that your defense was great down the stretch. And I'm a huge fan of Todd Bowles. I thought he was very good in New York, but he may be a coordinator more than a coach. I don't know. I don't know. But let's talk a little bit about that, is that the offense will get all the discussion. You have one of the best young linebacking corps in football. Talk about how you played last year late on the other side of the ball.
We took some lumps early in the year. We had a very young secondary. And first of all, to back up, you're right. Todd Bowles is an incredible coach. I think he's going to be a great head coach again someday. But he's an incredible coach. We have an A-plus coaching staff. Bruce has put together an all-star staff here, and they're just incredible to work with. But we struggled a little bit early. Todd put and his staff put in extra time with these young guys. I think it was the secondary. They finally started to click. They finally started to get it. These were young guys. And at the second half of the year, I was driving to the stadium looking forward to watching this defense. And there have been a few years that I wouldn't be able to say the same thing. So I think they're only going to get better this year. They have a lot. We have a lot of talent, like you said, but we have a great coaching staff, and we have a great vision for what we're going to do this year.
One of the things I've been concerned about is as you get older, 43 years old for Tom, you're dealing with 21-year-olds. They listen to different music. They're on different platforms. Tom's done a very good job to stay young. And I thought it was interesting when you brought Gronk in, because you're certainly not short of tight ends. You probably have the best tight end combo in the NFL. Is Gronk more of a chemistry piece? How do you view Gronk on this roster?
Well, we love OJ. We think Cam's a heck of a player. We got a couple other young guys that we like, a few other young guys that we like as well. But we do know that Tom likes Gronk. We didn't sign him or trade for him just because of that. But we know, you know, your tight end is usually your quarterback's best friend. So if you can actually get the quarterback's best friend and bring in a tight end, and you probably have a better chance of things working out. But, you know, you can't have too many great players. This is, we love OJ. We love Cam. We love, like I said, the other young guys too. I think we're going to find a way to get them all into the offense. And, you know, I think Tom's up for the task.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is obviously COVID makes it difficult, but I was saying yesterday is that the NFL is equipped to handle this. You can kind of create a semi-bubble, not an NHL bubble, but a semi-bubble. Is that how it kind of feels, that it's you've got some parameters here that are fairly rigid and that you'll get through it? Are you optimistic today?
I am optimistic, very optimistic. It's been working for us. I know it's been working for a lot of other teams too. I know that the accountability that Bruce has been preaching to our players, don't let one person bring this down. They all see that this could be a very exciting year for us. They don't want to be the person that does it, that brings it down. Everybody's very vigilant here about wearing their masks, social distancing when you have to. And Bruce preaches it every day. So when you when it's coming from the top, and nobody wants to give this virus to any of our players, but we certainly don't want to give it to our coaches either. So it's right now, I've been very pleased with the work that our staff has done putting this, our quasi bubble together. So like I said, I'm looking forward to kicking off here in a little over a month.
I imagine merchandise sales have been pretty strong. Your ownership group should be pretty, the Glazers should be pretty happy. Just off the top of your head, merchandise sales for the Buccaneers. Let me guess, they're up.
Yeah, probably a little bit. I had to buy a bunch of jerseys myself for family members. So I imagine that they are up. I imagine they are.
Good.
Tom Brady raises the accountability level of everybody in the organization.
Yeah. Jason, great seeing you. You've done a remarkable job. Couldn't be happier for you. I lived there for a couple of years, a great NFL city. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Can't wait. Summer and sports are in full swing. Lowe's is helping me out with my own little do-it-yourself project. It's a bar cart. Used it last night. Big C on the tray. On the tray. I forget the name of it.
Why are you struggling so much with
this? It's a big tray that I put on my bar cart. Go to Lowe's.com. It's very, very good. Urban Meyer before the end of the hour. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, Colin, I know you love workout videos and workout pictures.
Totally do.
It's your thing. Baker Mayfield is fired up for his third NFL season.
Let me see that.
He posted a picture of a recent workout showing, I believe he's doing some squats.
Looks very sturdy to me.
I hate doing squats.
Squats are the worst. They make you dizzy.
The absolute worst. He posted a picture of a recent workout he is dedicating to improving this year. And he posted with a caption, "I let a lot of y'all get too comfortable. It's about that time." And then,
you know what? Looks like a playoff quarterback to me.
Insert trolls commenting about from their couch. It's true. I do a lot of social media from my couch, especially lately because I'm sitting around watching NBA all day long. But so you like that? You think that's a good sign that he's posting that he's working out?
Yeah. You know, again, he's the only person I follow on Instagram. The only one I follow. If I don't like him, why is that the case? Let me see this video against the Ravens. Oh, look at that. Threaded it. He's going to be fine this year. They got the tackle position solved. They were the worst tackles in the league last year.
His frame has been a big topic of conversation since February after a shirtless vacation photo went viral.
I didn't see it. What's it look like? Where is it at? I don't love that. What is going on there? Let me see. I don't know. I mean, the other guys are all jacked up. What's it?
You know, the thing about quarterback bod, though, you don't really.
Who's the guy at third over? You know, he's got all those.
He can be a little pack. Flexible.
Are these all Brown players?
Pliability. No, that's Saquon there.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's now getting back in shape, and he's in the gym. So I figured you would like that because. You like
is that Baker Mayfield or a bartender?
If you don't post a picture of working out or
I mean, seriously, he doesn't
you're not really working out. Look, apparently the internet agreed with you, but he's talking about trolls from their couch, and he's right. Most people are. I mean, that's literally me. I'm like tweeting and shoving Cheez-Its in my mouth. I'm basically
how can you eat those things?
Cheez-Its?
Oh, they're so dry.
It's the best snack in the world.
No.
Are you crazy?
You like Cheez-Its? They're so dry.
Dude, I like Cheez-Its. My body is like 80% Cheez-Its at this point.
Corn nuts for me.
You love corn nuts.
I like corn nuts too,
but
chips.
Every time I go to the airport, I buy a giant bottle of water for the plane because I hate being thirsty on the plane. It's like the worst feeling. Yeah. And I get Cheez-Its. It's the best snack.
Oh, so dry.
White cheddar? Oh, amazing. Lord. So Joe Burrow played his way into the first overall pick this year after a record-breaking season at LSU, and he realizes that if the state of the world was like this last year, he would be in a very different position than he is in today. He tweeted, "I feel for all college athletes right now. I hope their voices are heard by the decision makers. If this happened a year ago, I may be looking for a job right now."
No kidding. Like, he benefited more than anybody last year. Why does he call himself Joey Burrow?
Joey Burrow?
He's Joe Burrow. You're a franchise quarterback.
I don't know.
Joey.
Maybe his mommy calls him that.
I don't like that. He's got to redo that. Joe Burrow. I don't want my franchise quarterback name Joey. Joe
What's wrong with
Burrow.
That? That's his name.
His name is Joe Burrow.
Maybe his parents call him Joey.
Joey's. You know what Joey sounds like? Skateboard hat on backwards, 14. I like Joe. I'm very efficient. Look at this. This worries me. These balls are low. Joey, look at this. Be totally honest.
It's the sincerity. Time out.
Look at, okay, that's okay. Watch these throws. I'm dead serious on this.
No, you're not.
Look at that. That ball's out in front. There's no zip on this
thing.
Why
wouldn't it be out in front? He's going to lead the receiver.
That ball was way behind the guy. Time out. Ravens defense. I got to be honest with you. This, I do not. Let's see this one.
Bengals.
It's okay. Not a lot of velocity on this stuff. Joey. This is why I don't like Joey. Hey, Joey's throwing the ball around to his friends. I like Joe is throwing darts. I don't like Tommy Brady. Tom Brady.
You call him Tommy all the time.
That's because we're friends. I like Tom. Wasn't Joey Montana.
Joe.
Stevie Young.
Burrow does have a really good point, though. I do feel for a, like we're having these big macro conversations about college sports and high school sports, and we're looking at it from kind of a separated perspective. But I do have a lot of sympathy for these players. I mean, this is yes. An honest take from him. Like we would not be having this conversation at all about breaking down his random camp footage this time last year if he had not had the season that he had. And that's going to affect a lot of players going into the draft. It's just a fact, and it trickles down into high school as well. So I know a lot of these student-athletes are very concerned right now, so we're thinking of you. Finally, the Warriors had the worst record before the NBA shut down and were not invited to the bubble. And Steph Curry admits that it was difficult to see so many teams get to continue their seasons in Orlando while he was watching from home. He said, obviously, I was happy to see basketball back on TV, but that first week, I had major FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Yes. Once you see Bron and Kawhi and PG go at it and you remember how much fun it is to play in those type of games and that kind of level, you miss it badly.
Yeah, well, they'll be good next year.
The Warriors are in a great situation going into next year. We have forgotten about the Warriors, obviously, but I think that the Warriors and the Nets are going to be two teams that we have not talked a lot about all year. Obviously, the Warriors having a ridiculous amount of injuries and being terrible this year. And the Nets having KD out and then Kyrie out and a little bit of dysfunction before going into the bubble. Now they're playing well in the bubble. I think those are two teams that are going to change the landscape of the NBA next year once everyone's back.
Well, good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, I saw Julian Edelman said, I love Tom Brady to death, but the train keeps moving. The train in New England, it's interesting. The train just doesn't have as many good people on it. I was thinking about this morning. Outside of Stephon Gilmore at corner, the Patriots will not have a Pro Bowler. Joe Tooney is good. Devin McCourty has made a couple, but they're probably not in the improved AFC. I mean, even the Bills' secondary. I'm not sure if Devin McCourty be all AFC East. The secondaries in that division, Buffalo's is really good. Go back to the top eight teams in the NFL last year in terms of Pro Bowlers. Baltimore, Kansas City, Saints, Vikings, Eagles, Green Bay, Steelers, Dallas. 6 of 8 made the playoffs. Pro Bowlers are a pretty good indication if you have the capital, the athletic capital to win. Now, it's not perfect, but New England's going to have one Pro Bowler. Bill Belichick's good. He ain't that good. New England also had more players opt out. New England's got two quarterbacks sharing snaps with no preseason. And, oh, by the way, the division, Miami, Buffalo, significantly better. Jets probably worse. So when Edelman says, I love Tom to death, but the train keeps moving, but who's on the train? I just don't think they have very good personnel. I really don't. I don't. And for the record, I think it's a restructuring. I think they know exactly what they're doing. You know, Belichick plans everything. 5-11, 6-10, top 7 pick, move up, get the number 2 quarterback. Urban Meyer's around the corner. Some real questions for one of the great college football coaches of all time. I think players are safer at school than not at school. At school playing rather than at school and not being an athlete. Urban Meyer addresses that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Three-time national champ. friend of the show, Fox College football analyst, one of the smartest guys I've ever met in football, Urban Meyer. When you win three national championships, you get invited to big golf tournaments and play with celebrities. Like last time we had him on, he played with Wayne Gretzky and his wife. And this time he's joining us from a boat, a big, long, yacht-like thing. Urban Meyer joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. It's quite a life. That is quite a life. All right, let's start with this. Nick Saban said this morning, listen, you're safer in our bubble because I can test you four times a week than you are going home. Is that what you would tell your AD or your school president if they were concerned about the safety of your players, Urban?
Well, first of all, I believe that to be correct. You know, I've watched what Ohio State has done. I've been over there twice. I've talked to, obviously, their coaching staff and the weight coach, and the protocol in place by the experts are better than normal society right now. And so I agree with Coach Saban.
Here's the concern. People say, well, some of the football players, they're 300 pounds, they're bigger, and even though they're in good shape, there is a concern. How concerned would you be about bigger players, interior linemen, because they have said weight can sometimes escalate problems with COVID?
It's no different than when I first went to Florida and you're practicing that heat, and I'm very concerned. And I think that's the holdup. I think they'd be getting ready to go play a season if there wasn't the causation question about, is there long-term effects of COVID? And obviously there's no answer because this COVID started in February or March. So that's the speed bump and the possible litigation that could occur. I keep hearing that as well. So there's two things. Number one, health and safety, which what's the causation, what's long-term effects of COVID? And number two is, God forbid, something horrific happened.
Is spring football viable to you?
No, it's not. You, I hear that, and I can't acknowledge that would even be a possible conversation unless you delay the fall. You can't ask, in my opinion, of a player in a contact sport like football to play two seasons within a calendar year. You can't do that.
If college football has never been totally even. There are big money programs. There's a lot more Oregon states than Ohio states. I was saying it this weekend. What if Big Ten says, okay, we're going to shut it down, and Ohio State says, listen, there's 15 programs in the country. We'll make our own schedule up. Could that be viable?
Boy, I keep hearing that, and I know Coach Day mentioned something about that. Coach Scott Frost in Nebraska. I think, you know, I like Greg Sankey's approach, and I admire him, first of all. He's a friend. He's saying everybody take a slow down a little bit, gather as much information. How much will that change in 2 weeks? I don't know. But the results of players that won't be able to do what they love to do and potentially earn a living from it, and the catastrophic financial expense from dropping sports like Stanford did, you know, I think they have to. I think you have to say, okay, if Rutgers and Michigan State, who just shut things down, can't play, does that give Ohio State to go do what they have to do? I don't know. Well, Colin, that's something that is going to happen here in the next couple weeks, but you can't say you can't do that. I mean, you have to protect yourself.
You know, it's interesting. You've been in these discussions where you're the football coach and you have a school president. And, you know, people are saying this is political and it's about law and liability. When you're a football coach and then you meet with a president, how far would you push? How far until you're like, listen, this is what's that discussion like?
No, a coach's job is not to do that. A coach's job is to make sure that when the AD and the president give you a thumbs up, go. But to have a coach start giving opinions about pandemics and long-term health. But, you know, what Nick Saban, what Ryan Day, I think they're right on. They're doing everything they're supposed to do. It's so above what the average human being has as far as safety, as far as protocol testing. And, I mean, they're getting tested twice a week at Ohio State. You know, it's been – the players have done a great job. So it would not be the coach's job to push, and that you got to be very cautious of that.
You know, Urban, I've been saying before is that Ohio State, Texas – you know, the big dogs, Alabama, they can spend $6 million on testing for a year, but a lot of schools can't. I mean, let's just talk about the budget here. What would it cost Ohio State to test all the programs, the 35 programs, all everybody's safe, two tests a week per players and staff. What are the numbers we're looking at?
I can't give you that. I actually have listened a little bit, but I can't give you that because I don't want to be incorrect. But to say one of the reasons why the MAC conference probably is not playing, and once again, I'm not in those meetings, but I've been in, I coached the Bowling Green for 2 years. You just don't have the resources. My goodness, you don't have the resources like the Ohio States do for study hall, for tutors, for sports nutritionists, for training table. And now you're going to throw on a big number for testing twice a week. So that is, I'm going to tell you this, it's a big number.
Yeah. Are you optimistic today?
You know, I'm more optimistic, ironically, than I was a day ago. I just see these players. You know, Colin, I want to ask you this. It's, you know, I can't get out of my mind that Pac-12 statement about the word exploitation, and I don't trust our conference commissioner. I don't trust our coaches. I don't trust our doctors. We want third-party people involved. And then I see the Ohio State parents come out and Ohio State student athletes, not football, all student athletes said, first of all, we're not being exploited. Second of all, we do trust our team doctor. We do trust that we're doing everything possible. So don't speak on behalf of us. I just think, first of all, it's great that players' voices are heard, but also this narrative that it's so bad out there. I'm so happy that's not the narrative. You know, maybe some places that they don't trust you. Can you imagine going to work every day where you don't trust people? You know, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. I said my daughter has roommates in college. I wish they were athletes because I know if they were volleyball players, they'd be tested twice a week. Her roommates now are not going to be tested twice a week. So, by the way, you've had kids who are athletes. You're a former athlete. When you watch Ohio State's protocols, it's Fox here. I got multiple temperature checks and readings and security badges. When you look at Ohio State, you fundamentally feel good about the protocols and the regimented sort of system for athletes.
I don't feel good. I feel great. I think, you know, I'd have to think that's at most places. Because when I start hearing a narrative about people don't care about student athletes and their health and well-being, and I start hearing about this, I cringe because, first of all, people who are probably making those comments haven't coached or played or they got stuck in bad places. A student athlete at a place like Florida or Ohio State and Utah and even BG to an extent is so far more than the average person. The average student, the average person in society, what they have available to them, you're on a campus, you have the best medical facilities within a half a mile of your facility. It's not even close. And I think that's what a lot of these families are getting so determined that they want to play because they know their kids are in a good place.
Yeah. It also worries me. You know, a lot of these kids, Urban, as you well know, they may have to go back to a crowded house. Multi-generational stuff. I it worries me. I mean, you know, you recruit a lot of these kids. Some come from tough backgrounds, right?
What you said is a reality, and I think that's what Nick Saban was trying to say and being somewhat politically correct, saying that, hey, listen, that well, I don't know many, Colin, that come from this kind of environment that places like Alabama, Ohio State can give you. And I don't care if you come from an affluent family or not. What goes on at these top high-level schools as far as health and safety and nutrition, and I mean, I can go through the whole gamut. The amount of money and resources put to student athletes just in the last decade has quadrupled. I mean, it's Ohio State has their own sports psychologist, their own nutritionist, their own physical therapist. It's amazing what they have.
Yeah. Enjoy your boat thing. It's not, once you're over a 50-foot boat, it's kind of a yacht almost. So enjoy your time there on Lake Erie there, Coach.
I will do. We got to get you here. We got to expand. You got to get out of California and Naples.
Nothing wrong with those places, by the way. They're pretty
nice.
No,
you're right.
They are pretty nice. Urban Meyer, college football for Fox Sports. Guys, getting older, right? All of us. MDriveForMen.com. Proteins, nutrients, leaner. Don't let age beat you. MDriveForMen.com. Yeah, you know, that. The one thing when I go to these athletic departments every couple years, I mean, you've been around them. You were a college athlete. But when you were a college athlete, the money wasn't as great. The real high-end conferences now, I have a friend that coaches a major college basketball power. He's like, let me tell you something. He goes, we have a chef. It's a college basketball program. He goes, our kids eat better than I do.
I mean, have you seen some of these facilities?
Kids they, like in college
the
basketball,
Alabama facility
they,
is ridiculous.
They have chefs.
It's like Disney World.
Swag bags, 30 pair of shoes. Like this idea that you're not getting that at home.
Every school isn't like that, though.
That's true. I'm not saying every school's like that.
Yeah.
But
Those big schools, though.
Comedian Bill Burr, an everyman, the voice of America. He's just funnier than you. Bill Burr, last hour, final hour, hour three in the herd, around the corner. In L.A., it's the herd.